in your face. I'm joined by the king of Smith Street, Teddy Klitter, the performer extraordinaire. Welcome back to 3CR.
Oh, it's lovely to be back, doll. Always.
You have had an incredible week or so. You had a fundraiser. You've been performing. Where do we start with you?
Oh, glory. Yeah, let's just talk fundraiser. Let's just get that one out of the way. It's been last Sunday. I have no idea what dates it is anymore. So last Sunday, we held a fundraiser at UBQ for my top surgery.
Wow.
Time to yeet the teats.
Wow. And how did it go?
It was amazing. It was such a lovely show of community and chaos and a wild good time. So it was amazing.
I want to hear about the chaos.
Everyone said, let's be our best Teddies. So I had multiple versions of me running around the venue, which was quite wild, looking at like multiple different mirrors that weren't mirrors. And I'm just like, what's going on here? And then everyone else said, Bogan Dad realness. There were, you know, divas with tan lines from fake tan, and they were like, let's make tan lines. Eskies were ripped out. There was fruit smashed. There were serenades. There was everything.
Tell us about the journey that you've been on to make the decision to have the top surgery.
It's always been in the back of my mind, but it's always the, how am I going to afford this? Because she ain't cheap. Not cheap, no. So I started thinking about it, and then I had my friends kind of be like, when are we going to start the GoFundMe, Teddy? And then my boss would be like, when are we having the fundraiser? And then I was like, right, enough peer pressure. Let's just do it, because asking for help is just so hard.
It sounds like you kind of relish that pressure, or how did it feel to get that pressure? Because it must be tough sometimes.
It was tough, but it was well worth it. It was good, like being in therapy without being in with a therapist lesson for me. It's like you can accept this help and it's going to be okay. There's going to be nothing crazy that comes out of it. These people genuinely just want to help.
And it's so affirming.
Yeah, hugely affirming.
You have been a pioneer. I mean, you are a person that entered Mr. Vic Bears. Tell us about how groundbreaking that was.
That in itself was groundbreaking, especially for me performing. It was not even me performing. It was me outside of the mask, as someone would say. And the bear community, so lovely, always so lovely. There was never a question about, am I a real man because I'm trans or anything like that. There was not a lick of it. And then I ended up walking away with Mr. Congeniality and I was like, okay, go off, divas.
That is so beautiful. Tell us about Mr. Congeniality.
Mr. Congeniality is picked by the other contestants. So it's whoever was the most congenial throughout the whole week, whether they were just nice to chat to or give people helpful hints and tips or whatever. I was the only one that voted differently. And it was really lovely.
Tell us about your story as a performer on Smith Street.
I've been working on Smith Street now for just a bit over 3 years. So it started in my first year of working on Smith Street. I was still developing my name as a performer. And then as I got down that line and I started to show the boss of UBQ, the lovely Stella, what I can do, then she started to put a microphone in my hand. And it all started out with me hosting karaoke's in the basement down at 108 when we were still there. And now I host karaoke's every Sunday.
Were you surprised at the personality that emerged when they gave you that mic?
A little bit, yes. There was a lot of Long Island's consumed that evening. And but these days, I don't have to have as many Long Islands to have the confidence to be on the microphone and interact with people, which is really nice.
I saw a reel of, you know, like it was kind of like a montage, you know, like a whole range of your performances put all together. And you're high energy.
I try. I'm high energy, but then I smoke too many darts and then I'm puffing at the end. But we make it work.
So tell us about your shows. Tell us a bit more, because they are high energy and they do pack a punch.
They do. I do like to, when I'm picking my tracks, there's certain tracks for certain shows And that's perfectly fine if that's there's a theme, or maybe it's a bit more of a artsy-fartsy serious show, you'll put on numbers for that. But what I've found, especially when you're entertaining the majority of the masses, is that you need those poppy punch songs, because no one's going to drink at the bar when they're sad after watching a drag performer, you know? So it's always high energy, always camp stuff. And that just makes it more fun for me as well. I like being a silly little guy.
What is it like performing on Smith Street? Because it's become the mecca of queerness in Melbourne. It wasn't always like that. It was kind of always edgy and underground and queer. But it has become the focus of the entertainment side of the community, the venue side of the community in recent years. What's the vibe like performing?
The vibe is always good. I'm just blessed to be able to work on such an iconic strip where there is so much queer culture and different kind of all different walks of life that come through Smith Street. So it's just, I'm blessed and privileged to be able to perform on Smith Street every week.
With all the attacks against the queer community, you know, coming from the far right and all of that, to what extent do you really, really relish the fact that we do have this space that's not a ghetto, but it's a hub of queerness and queer culture in a city that's renowned for it? Like, you must really see the significance of how important that is, especially in the current times.
Yeah, it's hugely, hugely significant. You know, I've personally had people very close to me who have been targeted by the far right in the past. So it's quite, you know, important that we all continue to rally together to not only keep our spaces, but to keep our spaces safe and do the good work to keep the queers going.
What are your insights about where the trans community is at right now, especially the trans mass community, in light of those attacks and the pressure the community's under, in particularly trans people?
I find the trans mass tend to be a little bit more hidden in amongst all of the rhetoric that goes on with all the trans people. It's very protect the dolls, but then it's like, what about the trans men? But most of us kind of just transition and live our best little silent lives in a way, and we're just like, we're just here to live. But even then, it's still important that we still support and uplift and showcase all different kinds of trans people in our community, especially with what's going on.
Which really emphasises how important the work that you do is, because of that element of invisibility, if you like, for trans men.
Yeah, trans men and drag kings. So it kind of goes hand in hand. So I'm out here trying to spread the word of the king and the trans mask as far as I can with, you know, I'm a very calm, education through calm conversation person. I'm not someone to be out there yelling and screaming. So it's, if people ever have questions about trans people, I'm like, ask me. You're not going to offend me. If you don't get it out there and you don't ask, you're not going to know.
And what a great intersection to be a drag king and a trans man.
It's a lovely intersection. I just can't, once I get the top off and I'll be able to have my top off on stage, it'll be like a complete circle for me. It'll be really lovely.
So when do you think that's going to happen?
I'm hoping it'll be after the Madea Awards, which is the Melbourne Entertainment and Drag Awards, which is, I think it's June or July, that is. So, you know, August, September would be an ideal time for me to be out for 6 weeks and then return for the summer season.
And it really is like a very elongated pride season these days, isn't it? Like, what's that been like for you performing during, oh God, how long's this pride season been going? When did it start? Like, it felt like it started in maybe October, almost November.
Yeah, that's when Midsummer makes all their announcements. So that's when everyone starts talking about it. And then we're all sitting there at the start of January being like, is it Midsummer yet? And then we wake up the next day and we're like, oh crap, it's Midsummer. Oh no. The street party is tomorrow kind of vibe. And then you just ride that hectic wave the whole way through. And then you notice, you know, it might get a little bit quieter for a couple of weeks because then everyone goes to Mardi Gras and everyone still keeps kicking on and partying. And it's lovely to see the pride season just be bigger and bigger. But also, you know, I like my nice little short 3 weeks of hard partying and then back to the grind.
What has been the most amazing performance for you over the last 6 months, say?
There's been so many amazing ones, including ones of my own.
That's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah. Yours. What I think the most amazing stuff I've done over the last 6 months was, do you know what? It was definitely my package for Mr. Vic Bears. All in all, the whole lot I was very happy with. And I was like, that's a top tier performance in my mind. And that's because, yeah, out of drag, did the three categories, really happy with my like parody Sailor Moon episode I did for my talent. And I was like, that definitely tops it for me.
In terms of other performers in Melbourne, has there been a performance where you've, I mean, I think you probably go, wow, a lot, but has there been one performance in particular where it's been like, you know, multi-wow? It's a hard question.
Yeah, because the divas bring it every time and it's really quite hard. Always watching Scarlett So Hung Sung lip sync to just violins is always incredibly camp. I had Rebel come in on a Sunday and do an Aldi number, which I loved, just sitting on the stage scanning groceries. Amazing. And then one of my really close friends, Dimitrix Darkhold, did my 1 year anniversary show and just made this giant love heart out of cardboard. I had two people pull it apart so it broke, and then he's out there in the middle of it with a fully like rhinestoned heart with arrows coming out of it, like he was just like the fallen Cupid of it all. And I was like, gaggery, all of it.
How hard is it like watching all these performers and just feeling the pressure to, you know, go one better?
That's only if I ever have to perform after a dancing diva, like a hard dancing diva. I'm like, oh, I'm in trouble here because I need to keep up the vibe now. And this diva's just gone and done splits and kicks and cartwheels that I just can't physically do. That's the hardest part. Otherwise, I'm just there to just balance out the rest of my night and, you know, put my songs in where I need to put my songs in and what energy levels I need.
Wow. So when's your next performance?
Sunday.
Wow. Tell us about it.
Sunday at UBQ, just like as per usual, I'll do my Teddy's World show. This week I've got D Flowers and Rebel with me. We do shows from 7:30 and we're all just here for a good camp time.
Tell us about D Flowers and Rebel.
Oh, D Flowers. If you don't know who D Flowers is, she is the chocolate goddess of Melbourne, hands down, always. Always coming through with wonderful Diana Ross, Beyonce, always just a lovely, lovely person. And Rebel, looking at her, she's very, you know, fashionista diva, but also she is a silly, silly girl. And I just live for it so much.
How much more money do you need to raise for your big fundraiser? Have you reached the amount?
Not yet. I still need to cover 2 months' rent while I'm out because I pay all the rent. So I still am looking at another $6,000 I need.
Wow.
But whether that comes from people still donating to the GoFundMe or whether that comes from me just ripping it out of my superannuation because I'm here for a good time, not a long time, it's all fine by me.
And that raises the question of top surgery, gender affirmation surgery, not being available on Medicare, and it should be.
It should be. It is absolutely ridiculous that it is such a small percentage of human beings, and it's not really going to put that much extra pressure on Medicare to just slap it on there.
And how amenable are politicians, do you think, to it in the future? Is there much campaigning going on in that regard?
I haven't seen a lot of it, though. Not at the moment. But I haven't been paying attention to too much politics right now. It's a little bit dark, a little bit gloom and doom. But I do hope that politicians do start to continue to look after all of the LGBTQIA plus rights.
And I mean, you know, it being on Medicare is so important because so often, you know, trans people are marginalised in employment. Discrimination is rife. You know, discrimination in housing is rife, you know. People are often living precariously in terms of employment and housing when they're trans, especially in an era of a cost of living crisis. And something that is a basic human right, like gender affirmation surgery, should be on Medicare.
It should be, because it's not cheap. None of it is cheap. And I think the most concerning part is that it's not subsidized or anything. So a lot of the time, a lot of the trans community have to go out there and do some really risky work in order to be able to afford it to get it done.
Right. So that's a shocking position to be in, isn't it?
Yeah. And I'm privileged, like, I don't have to do any of that. But it's not fair that everyone still has to subject themselves to some crazy stuff before they can even get what they want. Even if it's just affording their hormones that month, like, it's outrageous.
And that's the other thing. The hormones ain't cheap either, right?
No. No, they are not.
What kind of money are we looking at?
It depends. All depends what kind of hormones you're taking. Luckily for myself and my partner, we get the testo gel, and that is on the PBS. But it's still, you know, $30-$40 for a couple of bottles of it, and then you're paying that every month or so, which can still add up. Like, even if it is on the PBS, it's still quite a hefty chunk, especially when you don't have a lot of money coming in.
Teddy, if people want to support your campaign, your fundraiser, how can they do that?
You can go to my Instagram, Teddy Clitter, and you'll be able to find the GoFundMe link through there. The GoFundMe is called Tits Off for Ted, spelt with an exclamation rather than I in the tits. But either way, find it through socials, and it's still there. It's still active because I still need help, unfortunately.
Teddy Clitter, it has been a joy to see you again at 3CR. Thanks for popping in.
Oh, thank you, doll. Enjoy the rest of the afternoon.
3CR. Did you know that 3CR first went to air in 1976? That's right, we're turning 50 this year.
Right from the start, we prioritized progressive voices, First Nations issues, local music, alternative perspectives, and truth-telling.
50 years on, it's clear that independent, local media continues to be vital and that there's a strong need for media that shines a light on injustice and gives voice to a vision for a better world.
Are you a current subscriber? We really need you. Subscribe today and help us celebrate 50 years on air.
Go to 3cr.org.au or call 03 9419 8377.
That's right, 3CR celebrating 50 years this year. Pretty extraordinary.
In Your Face would like to thank Thorn Harbour Health for their sponsorship of this program. Thorn Harbour Health envisions a future where our LGBTIQ plus communities and people living with HIV are healthy and live safely with dignity and well-being. To find out more, search for Thorn Harbour Health online.